Okay, today we're learning Perek Yud Dalet, of the Netzach Yisrael. Here in Perek Yud Dalet, what he's dealing with, he's sort of now bouncing back a little bit from what we've been focusing on in the last couple of prakim. Last couple of prakim, the focus was Netzach Yisrael. The focus was that no matter what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bound up with the Bnei Yisrael. Come what may, ups or downs, all the situations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always with Klal Yisrael. He has to be with Klal Yisrael. He's invested himself with Klal Yisrael. He's connected himself to Klal Yisrael. He put his name in Klal Yisrael's name. And all of those things that show that there's an eternal bond, an unshakable eternal bond between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Maral now deals with the problem that comes along with this, which is perhaps best personified by a Mamar Chazal. He brings a number of these Mamorim in the Mimer. In the beginning he just asked it as a question, but let's read the Gemara that perhaps expresses the question clearest. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara in Ksuvah, Samach Vav Amud Beis, he brings it in the middle of the Perek, if you're interested, Shin Mem Vav, in the Hartman edition. Maisev Rav Yechem and Zakai She'arechav Alachamar V'yotim Yerushalayim. Rav Yechem and Zakai was riding a donkey going out of Yerushalayim. Vayu Talmidav Mahalchim Achrav. And his students were following him. Ro'a Riva Achas Shoysam Laketa Sayermi Bein Galali V'amtim Shalarviyim. And they encountered a young woman. Rav Yechem and Zakai lived at the time of the Churban Vayesheni. So he saw the Jewish people, in a sense, here at their worst. Right? At their lowest, in terms of their suffering. It was a time of siege. Right, Rabbi Yechman Zakai was there when the Romans had laid siege to Yerushalayim and caused tremendous, tremendous hunger and hardship. And he found a Riva Achas, a young woman, that she was so desperate for food that she was Malaketa Sairmin Ben Gloli Bamdam Shalarvim. She was trying to pick out kernels of barley that were still whole from amongst the waste, from the midst of the waste of the Arabs' animals. Kivin Shiruasa Isai, Misafa Bisarava Amdalafanov. When she saw Rav Yechem and Zakai coming, so she nisafa b'sara, so she put herself together, covered her hair, and so on, right? And she stood up. Amar lo, she said, Rebbe parneseni, Rebbe, help me, support me. Amar lo, biti basmiat, said, my daughter, who are you? Which family are you from? Amar lo, she said, bas nakdimon ben guryonani, I am the daughter of Nakdimon ben Guryon. Nakdimon ben Gurion, right, the Gemara goes on and it says, Nakdimon ben Gurion, we learned about him earlier, he was one of the three Ashire Yerushalayim. The Gemara tells that he remembered the ksuba that he had signed as an aid for the Bas Nakdimon ben Gurion. It was huge. I mean, this was wealthiest of the wealthy of Yerushalayim. And look what she had, descended to. Om Rabbi Yechem and Zakai. So Rabbi Yechem and Zakai's comment was, Ashrechem Yisrael. Fortunate you are, Yisrael. Bizman shatem aysim retzaynei shel mokayim, ein kolum avalashayin shaylet bachem. When you do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no nation can touch you. Bizman shein atem aysim retzaynei shel mokayim. When you don't do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, oz nimsarim biyadum ha-shvela. Then you fall in the hands of the lowliest nations, referring to the Arabs here. Even in the hands of their animals, right? She's coming to take the, so to speak, the leftovers, what the animals of the Arabs couldn't use. So, in a sense, although this Chazal has its own nuance to it, which the Maral is going to use to make his point of Ashrechem Yisrael, but his question is, if you're going to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us at all times, how is it that Klal Yisrael ends up suffering so much difficulty? How is it that Klal Yisrael ends up with so many problems, so many catastrophes and tragedies that seem to surpass those of anybody else? How is it that we reach a point where Chazal will say that when we drop so low, we will drop below the animals of the lowliest of the nations? How could it be if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us all the time? If you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, right, this Chazal itself, you could say, if you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us sometimes, and then other times he separates from us. No. So you can understand when he separates from us, so maybe we drop like a rock. But if you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always, essentially, bound up with Klal Yisrael, how is it that we should have on Am Hashem al Lomazeh the Almazeh, the way he says Bo al Oisam Shem Am Hashem Ribay Hatzores Hameshunis. How is it that we have so many tzores of such distorted, twisted, difficult nature, unusual nature? So you'll say we sinned, because Klal Yisrael sinned. Says the Maharal, tell me something. We sinned more than the Umos HaElam. The Umos HaElam also sinned. They sinned ganz fine, right? The Jewish people are sinning more than anybody else. That we should be able, to, we should suddenly be punished more than anybody else.
Should know better.
Oh, okay. So the Maharal considers this a huge question, which you have to attack from different fronts. And really, fundamentally, he's going to attack it from just, I think, really basically, two major fronts. The first thing he says is what you just said, which is an einesh, a punishment a person receives, is for behavior which is not suitable for him. Right? We don't have an objective thing. Sometimes you have to have objective standards. Sometimes you have to have objective standards. But to a great degree, when you're going to be dealing with somebody, you know, you have two kids who are going to be involved in doing the same thing. One of them is 17 years old, and one of them is 7 years old. You're going to be ma'anish them the same way. You would say, the 17-year-old, you're already older, you should understand, you should know better. According to who you are, according to your station, according to what you should be in life, the expectations are completely different, and therefore the consequences of not meeting those expectations are much more dramatic. Chet is failure to act according to what you should be doing. And therefore, for the Bnei Yisrael, who are so much higher, the chet, the same chatoim, which for the Umas HaOlam might bring a lesser punishment, or a lesser chet, that would even bring a greater punishment for the Bnei Yisrael. Because it's so out of sync. It's so out of character. According to the level of the Bnei Yisrael and their sanctity, chet is completely inappropriate for them. It should not be for them at all. And therefore, because it's considered to be so exceptional, so unusual, so therefore their punishment is going to be that much more significant, that much more grave. Right? Simple answer. Ask a hard question, you get a simple answer. However, the thing is like this, says the Maharal. He says, so I have a thing, maybe we shouldn't make us so high. Don't make us so great. So we have these great advantages, we're so holy, we're so vaunted. But it's Yosef Schari Bevseda, what we stand to gain, we're going to lose. We're going to lose on the other end, because now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be medaktik im chasidav kichut hasara. Right? Hashem is going to be so much more careful with us. So he says, the truth is, that it might be true, we're going to suffer greatly, but also the rewards could be so much greater. It's simply understand. Of course, if you're going to not expose yourself to risk, you're not, no risk, no gain, right? You have to, if you want to score big, so you have to be able to do that. You understand, therefore, that because by doing that, you also make yourself more vulnerable. That's what he says. So we have great, great opportunity as Yidden. But at the same time, because we have that great opportunity and we have therefore greater expectations of us, our failings are measured harder. Just like Chazal say again, Tzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Medaktikim Chasidav Kechut Hasara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is careful with those who are closest to him, with even a hair's breadth deviation from that, which is good. Okay, all of this stuff, not learning anything new, right? This is all basics, simple things. Frek the Maharal Akasha. So what we have left are the two, I think, very, very significant chidushim of the Maharal in this perek. One of them is going to be just a follow through on this, and the other one is going to be a more general philosophical type of an explanation for this idea of Klal Yisrael's potential greatness and Klal Yisrael's potential horrible, horrible collapse. First, let's deal with this thing where the Maharal asks a very, very basic question. You know. From learning Parshas Bechukaisa and Parshas Kisavai, the Torah lays out the brachos and the klolos, the blessings and the curses. How long does it take to learn the blessings, the brachos? Right? It's a few psukim. this much. The klalos, right? That's where you got to take a deep breath, right? In Teras Karnim 48, in Mishnah Torah 96 klalos, right? Excuse me, 49 and 98, right? Memtes klalos in Teras Karnim and 98 in twice as many in Mishnah Torah, Deuteronomy. So the klalos just seem to outweigh the brachas. You know, here the Maral is saying, look, you know, you have such potential for gain, so you have to understand you also have similarly great potential for loss. But it doesn't seem that way. Isn't that just a simple way of expressing the kasha? It doesn't seem that way. You have tremendous, tremendous description of loss and much, much smaller description of gain. So it's not commensurate. It's not even.
In what world?
Whatever. That's a good answer, right? You're saying it's a good answer. You'll say, oh, the thing is that over here the Torah is just describing the rewards in Olam Hazeh. In Olam Hazeh, indeed, there are going to be limitations to bracha. In Olam Haba, it's nitzchi, it's unending, it's eternal. So the klalos, you know, we lay out in Olam Hazeh as opposed to Olam Haba. It's a good answer. And it isn't, I mean, this is a classic question that the Maral is asking. You know, even without this, framework of the question and answer, it's strange. Why should the brachas be so few and the klalos be so many? You understand, there are descriptions of Olam Hazeh rather than descriptions of Olam Haba. But the Maral has a different answer. A very, very, very significant answer, and it's mavusas. It's based on a medrash, on a chazal. Chazal point out that when it comes to the brachos start with an aleph, im, right, and they end with a tuf, va'olech eschem kaimim miyos, right, which is aleph to tuf. Whereas the klalos, they start with a vav, v'im loy sishmuli, right? If you don't listen to me, you start with a vav, and they end with a hey, right? Because the last word in the klalos is, right, biyad moisha, right? These are the klalos that Kosh Baruch Hu, biyad moisha, right? The divabris, biyad moisha with a hey. So one goes from aleph to tuf, and one goes from vav to hey. Aleph to Tav is spanning two ends of the Aleph base. It's what we would say in English, A to Z. Right? From one to the other. Whereas Vav and He is going backwards. It's two letters which are right next to each other. And it's going in the opposite direction. So, what's the deal? The brachos are presented as a seder. As an order, as a sequence. You know, you're going Pesach shopping. Okay? So somebody might say, okay, look, you know, you're going Pesach shopping, so make sure you get stuff for cooking. Make sure you get stuff for baking. Make sure you get stuff for cleaning. You know, whatever it is. The item list is three. On the other hand, if, you know, you're dealing with chveis, you know, that you have some things, you don't have some things, right, so you start saying, okay, so I want you to get one bottle of oil. I want you to get two packages of sugar. Don't get any flour. I want you to get some matzah meal, some potato starch, some 409 cleanser, some scouring pad, some this, some that, some the other thing. In other words, when you have something in a seder, in a structure, you can be short, concise, compact. When you're all over the place, so then the list is much longer. Now, if you ever learned the Hakdama of the Ramchal to the Derech Hashem. Derech Hashem is arguably one of the most organized and one of the most concise svarim of Jewish thought that were ever written. Derech Hashem is amazing, right? It's very, very short sefer, and each paragraph is another brick in building a building of machshava. Each paragraph, literally, right? The paragraphs are numbered, right? There's four sections to the book. There are several chapters in each section. Each chapter is divided up into numbered paragraphs. See it? I mean, you have books like, you know, plenty of secular books like that also. Sometimes it's also, you know, compact, but it's so tiny, so small, and so compact. And the truth is that the Derech Hashem is a sister sefer to the Das Tfunos, which is not so compact, and which is a dialogue. It's written like many of the Svarim of philosophy were written of the Rishonim and Achronim, which is written as a as a dialogue, as a give and take between the neshama and the seichel, right? And it's much less compact and much less organized. In the beginning of the Derech Hashem, in the Hakdama, he writes about the value of organization of wisdom. And he says that when you learn pratim, when you learn details, there's an unending number of details. Right? Yeah, you gotta know about this situation, that situation, the other situation. When you learn core principles, so you learn the few basic core principles, and then when details arise and questions arise, you know exactly how to plug them in. You know where they belong. And the metaphor which he uses is the difference between a person who walks into a wild growing jungle garden and a person who sees a beautiful, neatly arranged flower garden. Right? One of them, you look at it and there's a certain pleasing to the eye, you understand where everything fits. Right? It spells, you know, welcome to Baltimore, you know, whatever it is, you know, and on the other hand, the jumbled one is like, I don't know where to find anything. I don't know what to do. You know, an organized mind, an organized desk, you know, whatever it is, it's much, makes life easier to handle. You know, but whatever it is, you know, that's the thing. Says the Maharal, Aleph to Tuf, the Seder, shows a certain comprehensiveness, A to Z. The brachos are absolute, they're complete. Whereas the klalois are pachats. They're not comprehensive, they're not complete. The klalois are, v'yasarti eschem, right? Which is, you know, a person wants to guide their student or guide their child. So they'll give them a little ping over here, a little reproach, a little something that, you know, so to speak, is something that quote-unquote hurts, right? They're not trying to do a comprehensive destruction, chas v'chalila. They're trying to give a little strategic shot over here, a little strategic shot over there, in order that they'll be able to find the right path. So the brachos are keseder. The brachos are because when you do this, you're going to have the whole thing laid out to you. The klalos, yeah, there are many more, because they're little points. There's a point here, a point there, a point there, that is used in order to be able to adjust things for the Bnei Yisrael. That's Nakuda 1. That's why the brachos would be less, but they're more together. They're more of a system than the klalos. And secondly, says the Ramchal, because of the fact that the brachos are keseder, that belies something. It belies that bracha is the natural matzav, the natural situation. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world with a seder, with an order. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes the brachos as having an order. Hashem is saying, this is the way it ought to be. Shalom Boretz is the way it ought to be. Shchavtem in Macharid, you'll lie there and you won't be afraid. Each person will have his own place and nobody ever. That's the way it ought to be. And the brachos laid out such Aleph to Tov, keseder, they're describing the world the way it ought to be. So as much as very often things revert to distorted situations where it's not the way it ought to be, but the fact that this is the natural order tells you that it comes back to this. That this is ultimately the way it's going to be. This is the Maharal saying, basically, something which we learn many times. Many times in the Maharal. It's one of the biggest sites of the Maharal, where he speaks about the notion that Golus, I mean, we've said it a couple of times in Netzach Yisrael already, but we've come across in other places as well, that the more natural the matzav, right, the more likely you'll be there. And one of the factors of Golus that leads to Geula is because in Golus, you're in an unnatural situation, right? You're divided when you're naturally one unit. You're out of your land when you have a natural home, right? So the more that it's your natural, the more you'll do it. And remember, you might remember one of our more intense Sunday mornings was, I think, Perek Ches of the Netzach Yisrael, where we learned, and it was something to remind you of now in these days before Pesach, where we learned about the separation of Yitzias Mitzrayim from Bias HaOretz. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all along, when He took us out of Mitzrayim, the promise was framed as, I'm taking you to Eretz Yisrael, I promise you Eretz Yisrael, so therefore I'm taking you out of Mitzrayim to bring you to Eretz Yisrael. Right? The whole thing was set up that way. And yet what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us out of Eretz Mitzrayim, and then by the Meraglim, by virtue of the fact that they cried, they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael, so it became separated from it. And says, well, had they not, would have been one thing. Klal Yisrael, Chazal tells, would have gotten into Eretz Yisrael right away. They never would have come out because the say of Eretz Yisrael, because the same way Eretz Mitzrayim is eternal. If Bias Haaretz would have been part of Eretz of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the same way Yitzias Mitzrayim is eternal. If Bias Haaretz would have been part of Yitzias Mitzrayim, would have been equally eternal, and we never would have shaken, never would have changed. That's why on the night of the Seder, of all times, we remember that it's the same night of Tisha B'Av, and we eat eggs. Right? Why? Why do we do that? Because Bias Haaretz was supposed to be a part of this celebration. Right? The Nusach of the Agoda, Arami Eved Avi, is from Bikurim, which is the expression of thanks. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us there to Israel. We go back to the whole thing. But it was severed. Why was it severed, said the Maharal? Because when Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim, enslaved, they cried. This is not natural. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out from there. But when Klal Yisrael was going into Eretz Yisrael, they cried that they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. They weren't homesick. We weren't homesick. If we were homesick, we'd have been crying to go into Eretz Yisrael, not crying to stay out of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, that showed, said the Maharal, that on some level, we didn't feel that it was home. It wasn't natural. Geula is to put you back into your natural habitat, into your natural environment. Seder. Maral here is saying the same idea in Seder. Seder is normal, orderly function. So the brachas are less in number because they're more organized, because they present just the natural order of systems. When things are disorganized, when things are out of sync, all over the place, unending list. That's the difference. That's the difference. And therefore, brachas are ultimately going to be for us because they're going to be a return to proper order. Things will not remain out of sync forever. At a certain point, everything will fall into its proper place again.
Well, the hay, though, is comprehensive. Just what? Out of sync.
It's one back.
No, if you go...
Not if you go that way.
Yeah.
Not if you go backwards.
Go backwards.
Not if you go backwards. Baruch ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech
Haolam. Like a... Shmonesri and Tapu, no? Shmonesri is very organized, 18 brachos right in a row. And Tachlun is chaotic.
Long Tachlun, huh?
Long Tachlun,
yeah. Okay, yeah. I hear, interesting.
Was,
he was in Galus.
What?
He was in Galus when he ran.
Okay.
Why Vav and
Hay? He doesn't darshan on Vav and Hay. He doesn't speak about the Vav and Hay. Why it's Dafka Vav and Hay. Okay. So that's point number one. It's a chiddush. It's a beautiful framework for understanding this idea, brachos versus klolos. But then he teaches as well something else here. The difference between Yisrael and Umas Ha'ilam. Why by Klal Yisrael there's such potential, and at the same time there's such potential for catastrophe, whereas by the Umas Ha'ilam there's not such great potential, and there's not such catastrophe. And he says it by using the terms which we've again seen numerous times in the Maharal, and which are classic philosophical terms, predate the Maharal by many, many centuries, of Chaimer Vitzura, where you speak about matter and you speak about form. And the classic simple thing is, you know, you have a ball of Play-Doh. So the ball of Play-Doh is Chaimer, it's just matter, it's unformed matter. You take the ball of Play-Doh and you shape it into a beautiful flower or into a house or whatever nice shape it is. So now that you've made the ball of Play-Doh into something, it's not just the matter, it's not just the gob, it's not just the ball. Now it already has a function, it has a form. Now that function and form, in a certain sense, is most transcendent. If you take a house and you build it out of bricks, right? So then, what were the bricks? The bricks were just bricks, right? The bricks have tremendous staying power. The house doesn't have such staying power. You take a wrecking ball and you knock it into the house, what's going to happen? No more house. You still have bricks, right? The bricks are still around, right? There's a law of the preservation of matter, right? Whose law was that? Newton?
Taj Mahal.
No, I was like, yeah.
Can't go wrong.
Okay, who? Michael? Right? There's the law of the preservation of matter, one of the laws of physics, yeah, right? Basic laws of physics, they think, is the law of the preservation of matter. Right? Matter doesn't disappear. I think it was way before Einstein. That matter doesn't disappear, right? What does it do? It's loives surah, and what's the language of Chazal? It dresses itself in one form, and then it dresses itself in another form. Surah changes. Right, this our ball of Play-Doh, right now it's a house. What do you mean it's a house? It's still a ball of Play-Doh. Well, it's a ball of Play-Doh shaped like a house. It's a transcendent thing. The shape, the form, is a transcendent thing. It's what gives it its magnificence, instead of it just being a ball, just being a gob. Now it's something. The tzura, in a certain sense, is easy come and easy go. That's the basic notions of Chaimer and Tzura. And Tzura is shaylet over the Chaimer. Tzura rules over it. It defines it. The Tzura defines the Chaimer. The ball is nothing. Then you give it a shape. You give it a form. The brick is just sitting there. It's doing nothing. When the person goes and makes it into the house, now the Chaimer has its function. Now it has its place. Now it has its role. Now it does something. That's the simple dichotomy of Chaimer and Tzura. Klal Yisrael is considered the Tzura of the world. The Umas Olam are considered the Chaimer of the world. Now on one level, you understand that. Because Klal Yisrael is put into the driver's seat. Atem keruyim Adam. The Navi says, Yecheskel, you B'nai Yisrael, you are Adam. You are the ones who are called Adam. Hashem created a world. Adam was clearly the Tzura of the world. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're going to take everything that exists in the world before you and you will rule over it. Right? You'll rule over the birds, over the fish, over the animals, over the plants, over the earth, over everything which is there. It doesn't say the word plants, but over everything on the earth. Right, all of the earth. Man was given control. It means man is supposed to be the tzar tzura. He's supposed to be the one who takes all of this, so to speak, matter and gives it form. Now, it's not matter in form like a ball of Play-Doh in the physical sense, but it is in terms of purpose, in terms of goal. When you have a cow that sits and munches on grass, the cow is a very sophisticated tzura, right? I mean, it has a whole biological system that's filled with miracle after miracle after miracle. I mean, unbelievable, beyond any comprehension, right? It's such an important thing, you know, to realize what the tremendous tzura is. It's a, you know, I was just remembering this story. I was in Switzerland a few weeks ago, and you look at Switzerland, you look at these mountains. It's unbelievable. It's like an inspiring thing. There's a maisa from the Vienna Rebbe, that the Vienna Rebbe was traveling on a train through Europe. I say this always when we go to Eretz Yisrael, right? He was traveling on a train through Europe, and he's traveling with his gabbai. And traveling on a train through Europe, one of the great privileges is looking out the window. His gabbai is looking out the window. The Vienna Rebbe is sitting there with his eyes closed. So after a long time, he turns to him and says, tell me, Yerveinu Rabbeinu, explain to me, why aren't you looking out the window? So he said to him, he says, if I look out the window, because, wow, Maravu Masecha Hashem, that means that when I live every day and I have my hands, and I have my eyes, and I have my digestive system, which is a gewaldige marabu masecha Hashem, means I'm forgetting that whole thing. Right? I'm sitting here, I'm thinking about what I have with me every place I go. You know, it struck me when I was there. I said, look at this. The Alps, they're majestic. But you know what it is? It's a daimim. It's a piece of rock that juts up very, very high, very, very tall. That's all that it is. I could go home, and I could look at a worm and a slug on my front lawn after the rain, and it's more complex than that mountain, because it's tzura, right? The daimimim, the arba yisaidis, the four basic things, the dust, the water, you know, this is not tzura, this is chaimer, this is the raw matter, the raw matter of creation. As the Ramban explains, bereishis bara elokim es hashamayim es haaretz, was the creation of chaimer, the creation of raw matter. That's why the pasuk describes that the land was tohu vavohu, v'chayshach al p'nei tzayim ruach alikim rachavas al p'nei amoyim. It describes there in that pasuk the earth, the water, the fire, and the wind. Right? Because the chayshach is darkness, it's from the chaymer ha'esh, it was an actual chayshach, was the matter of fire and darkness. The ruach of alikim rachavas al p'nei amoyim, on the water, which was on the tohim, which was over the earth itself. It's a creation of matter. Then Hashem steps in and he forms it. And you go and you make it into more refined and more sophisticated beings. Okay, so in that sense, the cow is tsura. The grass that it's munching on is tsura. It's all this composite of all these various elements and minerals and who knows what, and cellulose, who knows, all the different things which are included in these things. It's tsura. But on another level, it's just chaymer. Because it has no direction, it has no purpose, it's just sitting there. Adam is supposed to give the whole world its ultimate surah, its ultimate purpose. And Adam's defining characteristic within himself, this is a very big emphasis in the Maharal, is not his chaymer, is not his physical material being, but it's his surah, it's his seichel, it's his neshama, it's his higher, loftier things. That's the ikar of the Adam. When man sinned, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw man out of Gan Eden. And from all of mankind, he retrieved one. Avram Avinu was making his way back to Gan Eden. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Becher B'Avram. Bo Avram V'Notal Schar Kulam. Avram came and he took the reward of them all. Avram Avinu became the nation. 70 Jews went down to Mitzrayim, corresponding to the 70 nations. They somehow, we somehow, contain within us our own, excuse the expression, please, United Nations, right within Klal Yisrael. And we are supposed to bring them their place, bring them up. They are the Chaymer to our Tzura. That's Klal Yisrael. Tzura, the greatness, the potential, the possibility. And that's why, as the people of Tzura, we're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the ultimate Yotzer. Right? Ein Tzur Kelekenu. Say Chazal, Tzur means a rock. You know, that's Chaymer. No, Tzur is Tzair. Right? There's no one who designs, who gives Tzurah like Elekenu, like the Rabbeinu Shalala. That's where Klal Yisrael is supposed to be identified with. And when Klal Yisrael loses its Tzurah, remember the difference? The house is gone when the wrecking ball hits it. There's no Tzurah left whatsoever. Chaymer. It's still there. So instead of the brick sitting on top of a thing of mortar, it's now sitting on the ground. Are the bricks still around? Of course the bricks are still around. If the whole definition of Klal Yisrael is its tzurah, is its loftiness, that's what defines our essence, that's what defines who we are, ki heim chayenu, we say about Torah, that's our life. Our life isn't our biological systems. Our life is our Torah. So if we lose our Torah, gone. But from the Umay Salem, that's not what their life is defined by. Their life is defined by their Chaymer. So a little better, a little worse. Without Torah, they're lost. It's not Chayenu. They don't say Kiyem Chayenu. It's Kiyu Chayechem. I mean, no, they would say that to Klal Yisrael, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it to Klal Yisrael. So maybe this is a fancy way of saying the bigger they are, the harder they fall. But it's much more what the Maharal is saying. It's not a matter of degree. It's the matter that when your whole being is supposed to be defined by something greater, so when you fail to be great, you fail to exist. When your being is defined by basics, it's not so much. I just want to bring you one final dimyan, shot in a pasuk, that perhaps some of you may have heard from me before. It's a basic issue in the pasuk. We talked about it, early in the Be'er HaGoyla. There's a fascinating first glance contradiction in the pasuk. The end of Parshas Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the misbehavior of man, and he says as follows: "Vayar Hashem ki rabba ra'as adam ha'aretz." Hashem saw that the evil of man was overwhelming, was the majority, so to speak, in the earth. Chol yeter machshavos libo, and all of the drives of the thoughts of his heart, rak rak kol hayom, was bad all the day. Vayinochem Hashem ki asa adam ha'aretz. Hashem regretted that he made man on this earth. Vayisatzav al libo, and he was very distressed, and so he said he's going to destroy the world in the Mabul. Why? Because he saw that the yetzer of the machshavos of the heart of the person, the direction of the heart of the tzatz of the heart of the person, were just bad all the time. That's why he was going to destroy. So he destroys. He brings the mabul. Then what happens? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the mabul, and then Noach comes out and he brings a korban, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vayemer Hashem Eliba, Hashem says to himself, to his heart, Lo'oisif l'kala leides ha'adam ababur ha'adam. I will no longer curse the land because of man. Why? I'm never going to destroy the world again. Why? Ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra min urav. Because the yetzer of the heart of man is bad from the beginning, from his youth. I don't understand. The reason why Hashem destroyed the world was because the yetzer machshavos liboy were ra kol hayom. Whereas the yetzer of his heart was bad all the time. Now he's saying he's not going to destroy the world because the yetzer of man was bad from Nura, from the beginning. What's the pshat? Is that's a reason to destroy, or it's a reason not to destroy? So of course, there's a huge difference between the two psukim. One of them says that the direction of their heart is bad all the time, and the other one says it's bad from the beginning. HaKadosh Baruch was excusing them because they started off bad. Adam HaRishon didn't start off bad. Adam HaRishon started off great. Adam HaRishon's original definition was Tzelem Elohim, and nobody doubted it. The animals saw him, they started bowing down to him. They thought he was the Ribono Shel Olam, Chazal tell us. And then he turned himself into Rak Rak Kol Hayom, into bad all the time. He made himself from Bnei Elohim to Bnei Adam. That's what he did. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, look what he did. I had defined man in this lofty way, and now he's corrupted that definition. He doesn't exist anymore. And his world doesn't exist anymore. When they came to the Mabul, their world was recreated. And it was born, starting off, from the humble beginnings of man after the Chet. This was a new beginning, Mina Urav, from the moment they were born, this is what they were. So their starting definition of existence, their baseline definition, was here. So if they ended up here, they can still exist. They can still exist. If they end up there, they can still exist. They can continue to exist. Excuse me for 1 second. I'm sorry. I just have too many. Hello? Hi. Could you call me back in 10 minutes, please? Just to finish this. So the baseline definition, where it starts, is the basic definition of the person. You can't destroy, you can't make worse than Rak Rak Kol Hayom, than Raminu Urav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he chose Klal Yisrael, he gave us a different basic definition. Yes, we're not subject to utter destruction, because in choosing Klal Yisrael, he also made this bris with Klal Yisrael, that he would never forsake us completely, that he would bind up his fate with ours, as we learned previously. But in terms of what our basic definition of what we're supposed to be, at Har Sinai, we accepted Kiyem Chayenu. We accepted a basic definition, which is a very vulnerable definition. We can lose it. The Ummah Yisrael never accepted it. So they'll always be still living within the framework. That's the thought. That's why Klal Yisrael can suffer greater breakdown. Different baseline. Okay. Okay, very good. Next week is probably not going to be very practical.
Right.